Well, it's a doubleheader of Old Home Week here in Chicago. Last week, Reed Martin and I were sitting in my backyard here in Chicago talking about the development of the new show, The Complete History of Comedy Abridged, and it wouldn't be a trip to Chicago for Reed if we didn't see the one, the only, the incredibly aged and now wizened Yoda-like Matt Croak. Matt Croak, welcome
What's
back.
Up? It's always good to be back to the family nipple. Can I say nipple? Is it was
no,
a
don't
ship?
Say,
family
don't
ship.
Say what nipple. Is?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 342, Bible Down Under. Yes, it's official. We are finally returning to Australia this summer. Well, this summer up here, this winter down there. And we'll be bringing our third minimum opus, The Bible, The Complete Word of God Abridged, with RSE veterans Michael Faulkner, Jerry Kearney, and Mick Orff, and Dominic Conti. They'll be performing the show down there because Reed Martin and I will be busy up here writing and directing the RSE's next stage show, The Complete History of Comedy Abridged. But recently, Reed and Matt Croak and I talked about what it was like putting together the original production of the Bible, The Complete Word of God Abridged. It was developed in rehearsal and first performed by Reed and myself and Matt Croak. Well, and we've talked about this before because Reed and Adam Long and I wrote the script, and we come to the Bible, both the book and the subject matter, from different perspectives. I'm not terribly religious growing up. Adam describes himself in another podcast as okay. A Jew-Buddhalik, Jewish, Buddhist, and Catholic. And Reed, you have
grew up in a Presbyterian, no Presbyterian. Presbyterian Crossing. Yeah.
So when we were developing it, both Reed and I have married Irish Catholics, so we are used to being ordered around, being told what to do.
Yes.
And but
not at all.
but Matt Croak, you're also a Catholic and went to a Catholic school.
I did,
and yeah. I remember it was on all of our minds is that we wanted to create a show that was a celebration of the Bible, but in a reverent celebration of the Bible, and yet still. You know, still make some jokes about it.
Well, we were caught on, do we want the people to, because you do one bad reference and people are going to talk about that all the time. So we made a conscious effort, conscious decision. Do we want this show to be about controversy or do we want it to be about comedy? And so there are some, you know, there are some songs and some bits that we said, we think it's funny, we think it'll work, but we think it might offend and people will miss the entire point.
Right.
And we didn't want to be the cheap gimmick where we were getting publicity for the wrong reason. So we could have probably made some more waves and we said, no, let's make this, so we went out of our way to actually kind of make sure it hit the edge, which I think ended up being one of our smarter shows for that reason.
Well, and we wanted the show to be a celebration, and just the fact that you're doing a comedy about the Bible, that in itself is controversial for reasons I still do not understand. I mean, Mel Gibson can make an incredibly pornographically violent movie about the death of Christ, and that's okay, but somehow we do a comedy that celebrates the Bible and celebrates the stories of the Bible, celebrates the meanings of the Bible, and some people think that that's a problem. But in fairness,
that's not funny.
No.
What, did I miss the point?
You missed the point, Reed.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
No, what I was going to say was, in fairness, the people who think it's a bad idea have never seen the show. Most of them.
That's true. Well, we have occasionally gotten people who get their panties in a bunch, as they say. Even in England, for a while, we had protesters. But what they don't seem to figure out is basically they're bringing the attention of the show to people who wouldn't otherwise see it. And they go, oh, that sounds really funny.
Yeah. Wait, if those people think that show's a bad idea, then I'm definitely seeing that show.
Well, and I think the Bible really defined what the Reduced Shakespeare Company was about. Three guys, we're not making fun of the Bible, we're making fun of ourselves. Because we explained it with Shakespeare, we explained it with the America show, but really, I think people understood it with the Bible because it was three guys trying to get through this book, and it was a beginning to end, which was great because you had a beginning and an end, so that was great in terms of the stakes, and it just really defined the three characters, and I think that helped explain the concept of the Reduced Shakespeare Company in a way that other shows have not.
Well, and also, we started with Shakespeare, and then we went to American history, and we thought, well, we've talked about
politics. What else are you not supposed to talk about? Oh, religion. Hey, I know.
Well, and what I remember about the Bible is because Matt Croak and I were circus clowns together. Yeah. We incorporated a lot of circus clown bits. A lot of it is the miracles of Christ, but elsewhere too. And that was a lot of fun just developing that stuff.
That was my favorite part of the Bible show too, because you guys do all the physical stuff and I stand there and point at you and you'd be funny.
That works.
So I just run around. That seems kind of a pattern in many of the shows for me. I say a lot of narration and point at the other two guys being funny. But that works.
Well, and it's so funny with the Bible. You know, you can imagine Shakespeare. How many people said, oh, I don't know anything about the Bible. And then they go, David and Goliath, Moses, Noah. Yeah. What's not to know, you know?
Well, I mean, exactly. You don't have to be a biblical scholar to see the show and to like it. Because really, if you've seen any movie based on the Bible, the Ten Commandments or Jesus Christ Superstar, then you'll get everything as part of the show. And again, I say, you know, I'm not a religious person, but there are still parts of the Bible and parts of the religious stories that are moving to me, and I think we've kind of captured those moments as well.
Well, and with the other shows, this also show provided us to really go from wacky to
serious.
To serious, yeah. Psalms and Proverbs, yeah. And when Reed comes out, the Easter Bunny, you have the visual of the Easter...
Spoilers!
Sorry, you have the visual of an Easter Bunny, what he says later. I mean, it was a really...
Well, he's talking about the actual crux of Christianity.
Yes.
The crux of Krusty. Wait a second. Of Krusty the Clown.
Hey! What was I thinking?
You're talking about the crux of Christianity. That is both a reverent moment, but also a silly moment at the same time. And that's really kind of comic gold right there.
Well, and what I thought was fascinating was taking it to Israel.
Yeah.
They really understood the first act.
Yeah.
The second act, literally, didn't somebody come up to us after the show, and what are these things, these apostles?
They thought they were candles. They're like, were they candles?
Who's this Jesus fella?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Well, he's a Jew. Well, he's Jew-ish.
Yeah, what do you remember about Israel, Matt?
I remember the two faiths, that it was on level 10 all the time. I mean, it was a hotbed of religion. It was 10 every day, all day long.
Well, that's the joke. You get 12, you get 10 Israelis in a room, you have 12 opinions.
Yeah, and if one religious group said this part was holy, another religious group would say, well, it's holy for us too. And literally we're taking a tour going, well, this is where Jesus, baked bread. And they go, yeah, but it's also where David played the flute for Goliath. What? I mean, literally, it's both everyone. So it's really it's high stakes, and there were people sitting outside reading Bibles, and it was intense. It was beautiful. I mean, it's an experience. But boy, if I was there a month, I'd need a nap. I mean, it's exhausting.
Yeah, we played the Jerusalem Festival. It must have been about 1996 or 7, and I remember going to the Dead Sea and Mount Sinai, and we went to Bethlehem, which you could do in those days. I'm not sure you can do that very easily anymore.
Yeah, that's right.
But the audiences loved the show, even though they didn't, the New Testament, they didn't quite get as much as the Old Testament. But, the stereotype, the sense of humor. Well, boy, the Israelis had a fantastic sense of humor.
Well, listen, Jews, they run Hollywood and show business. Are you kidding me?
Again with the jokes.
But there are more Christians also in Israel than one thinks.
Yeah.
And there were certainly Christians at the show that they all loved the second act, and they were a little lost in the first act. But the thing that I was moved by was that, you see all the sites that you were talking about, you see all the buildings, and everybody says, this is where this happened. This is where this happened. But the phrase they're leaving out is, this is where we've all agreed to believe that this happened. Because nobody really
knows. This is where we've agreed to believe that Golda Meir was sworn in as prime minister.
No, that thing I think they have actually video of. I think they've got them film of that.
Yeah.
But so for me, we went to the Garden of Gethsemane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there were olive trees that everybody can quite prove conclusively scientifically have been there for at least 2,000 years. And that, to me, was like, holy crap.
No, holy trees.
Yeah, holy trees. Excuse me. My fault.
You're listening to Tim Minchin, randomly standing here with Austin and et al. In Washington, D.C., and you are listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Wah!
Where can you RSC the RSC? Starting on July 16th, 2013, you can see us performing the complete works of William Shakespeare, abridged, revised, in London for 4 weeks at the Leicester Square Theater. Then in August 2013, we'll be bringing the Bible, the complete Word of God, abridged, to Australia, performing in Melbourne at the Athenaeum Theater on, from August 5th to August 18th. From August 19th to the 21st, we'll be in Adelaide at the Dunstan Playhouse. On the 23rd and 24th of Australia, we'll be at the Playhouse Canberra. August 27th to September 1st will be at the Brisbane Powerhouse. And from September 3rd to September 15th, we'll be performing at the legendary Sydney Opera House in Sydney. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information.
We've talked about, you know, the show played, we played the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. The Bible, the Complete Word of God, which was nominated for a Helen Hayes Award in Washington, D.C. is the one of the best new plays of that year. I think it was 96. We've played all over the United States. We've played in Israel, as you said, Reed. But we've also played in the U.K. What are sort of the differences? Did we have to change much for the U.K.? I don't remember changing.
I don't recall changing much for the U.K. any more than just as you'd go from a different town to a different town. The Bible show has more topical references, I think, than any of our shows. And so when we do the one-nighters, you and then they seem to mostly fall on you. I don't know if it's the top 10 rejected commandments. But so you had to change the references. But no, the show we ran it in 97 at the Guildhall Theater in the West End for about a month. And then it joined the rep at the Criterion Theater and played again in the West End, that time for about 3 or 4 years.
Well, and we've had some really lovely comments from people who come to see the show. I remember a minister from the Church of Scotland came up to me, because we're always at the table out in the foyer afterwards signing autographs, and a minister from the Church of Scotland came up to me after a performance at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, and he said, was better than the book, which I thought was lovely.
And on the other end of the spectrum, I remember after Hurricane Katrina hit, and we got an email, or maybe it was a letter from somebody who said, you know, I saw that the Bible, the Complete Word of God, abridged, was playing in New Orleans, and God has, you know, hit New Orleans because of your blasphemy. And you can't respond to those letters. There's nothing you can say. But Austin wanted to write back, you know, I did a little research and I found out that actually more churches in New Orleans than there are theaters. So I'm wondering, but I talked him out of it.
You talked me down. You still have to hold me back on that. I still want to write that letter.
Put the pen down.
But also we got that great review from Sister
Mary Ann Walsh of the Arlington, Virginia Catholic Herald.
Yeah.
It's wacky, it's zany, it's a little profane-y.
And one of your teachers, Matt Crowe.
Sister Carol Ann loved the show. And it's got a great mix of songs. You will learn things. I mean, well, Elijah and Elijah. I mean, there are things to be learned. I mean, and it's...
Well, and the boys, the guys will actually be playing in Australia. Michael Faulkner, Dominic Conti, Jerry Kernahan, and Mick Orff. They all played in San Diego at the San Diego Repertory Theater before.
Well, and they've all been doing the show, I think, 10 years minimum. They're not us, but they're us.
No, they're us. Well, and Michael Faulkner plays the piano a hell of a lot better than I do. Yeah. Oh my God! But they played it at the San Diego Repertory Theater, and a guy came and saw the show, and he was sitting there looking very serious. But he was, he goes up to them afterwards. He says, "Well, I run a church youth group, and is there any way I can get the script, because I would love for my kids to perform this show?" And so he got the script and he got the rights, and he did it with his church group.
And that's more common than not, that clergy come and see the show, and then they go and they invite their congregation.
Well, and I think I'm maybe the poster boy for the person who doesn't want to see something about the Bible, because I'm not religious, but it was still funny and moving to me.
To talk a little bit about how the show started, we were performing at the Kennedy Center in the summer of 1994, and we were a big hit. That was our first time there since then we've been back, I don't know, 6-8 times.
Yeah.
And we did the Shakespeare show in the History of America there, and they said, well, we'd like to have you back next year, but, you know, you'd need a new show. Are you thinking of anything? And we'd been to Israel, and somebody there had suggested, you should do the Bible as a TV show.
Yeah.
And we'd run it past a few people, and we said, well, we're thinking about doing the Bible. They said, good, it's booked, go write it.
Yeah.
And so that was like in July or August, and they said, a year from now, you're going to be performing it here. And so then...
Which is really great, because that's not a commission officially, because they didn't have us a hand us a check, but they said
it's better.
It's better. We're going to book you. You're booked. You've got a gig, so you better go write and rehearse that show.
Yeah, and so Jane booked us. We workshopped it up in Alaska.
Yeah.
I think at the University of Alaska at Anchorage, and then we workshopped it in Homer, Alaska.
Well, we rehearsed it at the barn at the Titchener Family Ranch, which is fun. It was a really relaxed environment, and we were just able to kind of ease into it. You know, we did the Wise Men. We said, hey, let's rehearse this out on the outside, and we brought our baseball mitts, and then the baseball mitts went into the show because it was so
Wise Men playing catch in the in the Sinai.
And I mean, that's a great example of comedy or what's funny. I know we talk about Mark Myers, you know, put funny what's funny. We were, you know, practicing the Wise Men. We had our baseball mitts playing catch. We made that in the show. Wise Men playing catch. It's as simple as that's what we were doing on that day.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was funny. If we think it's funny, we let the audience think it's funny, and everyone's along for the
ride. Well, and we're always looking for what's the activity that we can be doing while we're saying something funny on stage. Now, and having complimented Michael J. Faulkner earlier for being a better piano player than I am,
let me just say, as someone, you don't have to play catch with him, but it's kind of, I don't know, is it like dodgeball?
Yeah, and it's not that far.
Keep away. So I keep away from Reed.
So if you're sitting in the front row of the theater while Michael J. Faulkner is throwing the baseball, just, you know, stay alert.
Wear a cup.
And then going to Alaska, I remember the first Alaska show we did, our first act was over an hour and a half long, which now we get it down to 50 minutes. Hour and a half long. But that was something where after the shows, I mean, we've done it before since, we were able to sit down with the audience members, they say what they like, what they don't like. And it was a really fun experience to put that show together. A lot of audience intake on that one.
And then before the Kennedy Center, but after Alaska, we American Repertory Theater. Again, we had just been there performing. We had performed the Shakespeare show and the America show at the American Repertory Theater in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Right.
And Jane Collum said, we were workshopping a new show. Can we come to Cambridge? And they said, absolutely, come. And so we workshopped it there. And so we had two decent runs of it before we got to the Kennedy Center.
And we talk about the use of improv in our shows a lot, but improv is a thing that we're aware of when mistakes happen. Let's follow the mistakes and see if something happens. But in this show, particularly the Noah's Ark scene in the second act, we knew essentially how it was going to work, but we didn't know what we were going to say.
Because we pulled 10 people on stage, and you don't know. After a while, you get an idea of the kind of things they're going to say, but at first you go, I don't know where this is going exactly.
So there was no way to rehearse that except in performance.
And
so that was very fun.
And it's a great audience participation because there's 10 people on stage, and it's a lot of energy.
Playing five pairs of animals on Noah's Ark.
Five pairs, it's a lot of energy, and they don't do a lot. They just have to make a noise, but we're running around, and it makes them look like they're doing so much more. They feel relaxed because they don't have to do a lot, but yet they have, you know, props as noses and things, and the audience loves it, and everyone gets their own, each audience member gets their own moment.
I mean, there's a light laugh at all their expense, but then, as with all our shows, by the time it's done, they're all thrilled that they got to participate.
Yeah. Well, and of course, because it's a show about the Bible, some of the jokes are as old as Moses Toes and twice as corny, because we want to be authentic.
Which, in Alaska, we're asking audience participation, and that's the one where the lady said, well, I thought this joke was really old, I didn't like it, to which the lady behind said, oh, I never heard that one, the one I thought was old as this, to which the first lady said, oh, that I've never heard before.
Right.
So it was funny to hear, you know.
Yeah, it's always a new joke if you haven't heard it.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your Bible history via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you could post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, Son of God Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout out this week goes to Hillary Giffen. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Tim Minchin, and thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 342 1026ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Any other things we have to, we should warn the Aussies about? The Bible, the complete Word of God, abridged?
Well, it's very biblical. There's some water. Just be prepared. I mean, there is, you know, there's
baptisms will happen.
Yeah, baptism, you know, Red Seas will be parted. I mean, there's, you know, the Bible has water. It's not, read the
book. It's in the book.
Yeah,
it's in the book. Not our fault.
This podcast is a production of the Reduce Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less.